Matthew chapter number 18. I'll give you some thoughts that the Lord has given us for tonight. And I might encourage you to write a few things down, maybe take notes tonight. It might be a blessing to you, give you something to think about and dwell on through this week. But Matthew chapter number 18, we have been preaching for some time now on some parables, the parables of Christ, on these Sunday nights, and we'll do that once again this Sunday night. Let's, if we're in Matthew 18, if you want to stand, I'll encourage you to do that. You can do that now. You don't have to stand, of course, but if you want to, you can. And we'll read verse 21 down through the rest of the chapter and preach for a few minutes out of that portion of Scripture. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Or is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants? And when he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. The same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord of all, unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Father, I'm asking for your help tonight. Lord, I'm praying that you would help me to deliver to this people, God, what you delivered to me this week. Lord, in the way that you gave it to me this week, God, move in some heart, touch some soul, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Matthew 18 is a tremendous chapter in your Bible. In this one chapter, Jesus teaches 3 very important lessons, all lessons that could be learned today. In the beginning of the chapter, he teaches a lesson on humility. Chapter 18, verse 4 says, Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In verse number 1, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, as only the disciples could, they said, Lord, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? And they weren't ready for verse number 4. Jesus answered them and said, the greatest in the kingdom won't even realize they're the greatest in the kingdom, because the greatest in the kingdom will be the most humble in the kingdom. And he teaches them a lesson on humility. And after that, he teaches them a lesson on honesty. Jesus tells them in the middle of the chapter that if someone offends them, or if they offend someone, that they should go to that person quickly and resolve that issue. You see, resolving an issue between two people requires honesty with ourselves. It requires honesty with the one we have offended or has offended us. And it requires honesty with God. Can I say, and this is not message, but being honest in negative situations is not easy, but it is always best, and it is always blessed. You see, when we are at disunity or when we are divided with one another, then the enemy has an opening in our hearts where he can cause strife and turmoil. But when we are united, there is answered prayers according to verse 19, and there is the presence of the Lord when we are united according to verse number 20. But after teaching these lessons on humility and honesty, Jesus then begins to teach them a lesson that I believe is needed in our world today. Jesus teaches them a lesson on forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we are missing in our world. Our world is angry, and our world is bitter, and our world is contentious. Our world is missing forgiveness. We are divided tonight. I don't have to explain that to you, but husbands and wives are divided inside of their homes. Parents are divided against children and children against parents. The right is against the left and the black is against the white. We are divided tonight and we're lacking forgiveness in our hearts. Unfortunately, forgiveness is something that is also missing in the hearts of many church members. Many people struggle with things in their heart that you do not realize and that you do not understand. I believe that there are people struggling with things in their heart, things that have been done to them, things that have been done against them, maybe something that took place in their past, and you would be shocked what the average member struggles with, what they carry around with them, because they are unwilling or unable to forgive someone that wronged them at some point in their life. There are people that are out of church tonight because they're unwilling to forgive somebody. There are people that are out of church today because they're unable to forgive someone for something, forgive somebody that has hurt them. There are people that are maybe not out of church but physically, but they are out of church spiritually because they are handicapped because of something that has happened to them. They have some inability to move on from that. That is a hurdle in their life. It is a barrier, a wall in their life. And they sit in our churches every Sunday, every Wednesday. They are here, but they are not here because there is a barrier, there is a wall of unforgiveness that is hindering them in their walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture and preach for a few minutes on the parable of the unforgiving servant. The parable of the unforgiving servant. I want you to write three things down. I'm going to give you some stuff to write down in between these. But first of all, I want you to write this down. Number one, I want you to write down that forgiveness can be learned. Forgiveness can be learned. Look at verse number 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" The way that this passage begins is so interesting to me. Peter comes to Christ and he asks him a question on forgiveness. The question then leads to a parable. I say, though, that this is interesting because Peter's question seemingly comes out of nowhere. I don't know what prompted Peter to ask this. It could be there was something on his heart. There was something in his mind. It was something he was battling with. But what is even more interesting is that when Peter asks this question, Peter is struggling with the first two, but he asks a question about the third. Jesus had taught humility, but Peter wasn't humble. He was one of the ones arguing about who was the greatest. Jesus had taught on honesty, but Peter wasn't being very honest in our text. In fact, when he comes to Christ in verse 21, he said, "How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive them?" Peter's not honest in his heart. If he was honest, he would have said, "What if I offend someone?" But oh, Peter, he wasn't going to offend anybody, but somebody would surely offend him. "How often shall my brother sin against me?" He's not being very honest in our text. But in spite of how messed up he is, he asks a question that leads to a lesson, and I'm glad he did. I thought about saving this first point and giving it to you at the very end. I thought, man, to say that forgiveness can be learned, that is something I could save to the end, and that would give a good segue into an invitation where I could tell you that you can learn forgiveness. It is possible to forgive, and maybe you could come get some help with that. But I decided to give it to you at the beginning because the reality is this. If we do not believe that we can learn to forgive, then the rest of the lesson and the rest of the message is a waste of your time. There are some people that truly believe in their hearts that they cannot forgive someone because of what they did to them. But the reality is this, forgiveness can be learned. It doesn't matter how bad you have messed up, how bad a situation is, how bad someone has hurt you, you can learn to forgive. There are some people that have convinced themselves they can't forgive, but you can. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. Preacher, you don't know the way that I've been hurt. You don't know, preacher, how many times that I've been hurt. Preacher, you don't know. I have tried to forgive, but I am incapable of forgiving them for what they did to me. Tonight, I will not argue with any of those things. I may not understand what you are going through. No one may ever understand what you are going through. But I believe that there is a God in heaven that understands. There is a God that is able to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And God is able to teach you forgiveness if you will allow Him to. If you're taking notes, write this down. Forgiveness is learned in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is learned from Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is learned from Jesus Christ. When Peter wants to learn forgiveness, I want you to notice who it is that he comes to in our chapter. The Bible says Peter comes to Christ and he said, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother? You see, the one that is able to teach us forgiveness is Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I've not been able to forgive, and you may not be able to. You say, I don't know if I could ever do it, and you may not be able to. But forgiveness can be learned from Jesus Christ. If you are willing to humble yourself before Him with an honest heart, as Peter did, and say, Lord, I need to learn forgiveness, then God is able to teach that to you. Not only is forgiveness learned from Jesus Christ, but forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ. Now understand what I mean by this. It is certainly true that we find forgiveness in Christ. Christ gives us forgiveness of our sins. We all believe that, don't we? We believe that God forgives us when we mess up. He forgives us of our sins. But that is not what I am talking about. That is not exactly what I mean. When I say forgiveness is found in Jesus Christ, what I mean by that is this. Jesus, in Jesus Christ, we find the ability to forgive. Oh, I'll say it again. You may not have the ability. You may not have the power to forgive. But God has the ability that you are lacking. You know, the reality of the Christian life is that the more we realize what we can't do, the more we can learn to depend on Him and He can help us do and do through us, and the better we live the Christian life. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of really, really working hard at it. It's God produces these things in us. And it is the same way when it comes to this issue of forgiveness. There are some people that have been wounded so deeply that they don't know that it's possible for them to forgive the person that did that to them. They are hurt beyond words, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. They are hurt beyond words, and they don't know if they can. And can I say that if that is you, you probably can't. But He can. And you can find the ability to forgive in Jesus Christ. We find our ability in Him. So we see this, first of all, forgiveness can be learned. Second of all, I want you to write this down. Not only can forgiveness be learned, but write down, forgiveness has no limits. Forgiveness has no limits. Verse number 21 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? When Jesus begins to teach this lesson on forgiveness, he does so by telling us that forgiveness has no limits. Peter asked, how many times should I forgive someone that does me wrong, that sins against me? He said, Lord, would seven times be enough? Now you got to understand, when Peter said, if I forgive him seven times, Peter really thought he was doing something big in offering seven acts of forgiveness. If I understand correctly, the rabbis in this day taught that they should forgive someone three times for an offense. For Peter to say, Lord, should I forgive him seven times? That was double what the rabbis were teaching, plus one. That seems like a lot of forgiveness to me, doesn't it, you? Can I pause long enough and say that if you forgive somebody three times what the rabbis taught, that seems like a lot of forgiveness to me. If you offend me, now listen to me now, you're no more spiritual than I am, so you just nod your head when I say what I'm about to say. If you offend me and you hurt me and I choose to forgive you and then you turn around and hurt me again, it's going to be hard for me to forgive you the second time. But let's say I do it and I forgive you again and then you turn around and you hurt me again. How many of us would say we'd forgive them the third time? Don't raise your hand. But in your heart, how many would say I'd forgive them the third time? Three seems like a lot to me. But Peter didn't say three. Peter said seven. Could they hurt me seven times and I forgive them? Lord, would that be enough? And our Lord responds this way, Brother Lee. He said, I say not unto thee seven, but 70 times seven. Let's do some real quick math right here. Should I ask the high schoolers what 70 times seven is? They're shaking their heads. No. I went to Carnes, but I know that one. 70 times seven is 490. Now, wait a minute. The Lord said, don't forgive them seven times, but he said, what about 490 times? You say, when I preach her, how am I supposed to keep up with 490 acts of forgiveness? The reality is that you can't keep up with 490 acts of forgiveness, and that's the point. Jesus wasn't saying keeping a ledger at home and when you get to 490, mark them off. 491, we're done. Buddy, we are. At 491, son, it's over between me and you. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that by the time you got to 490, you'll have lost count. What Jesus is saying is this: forgiveness has no limits. Are you taking notes? If you are, I want you to write this down under that thought. I want you to write this down. I cannot keep a record of wrongs. I cannot keep a record of wrongs. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 5, it is speaking about love. And in that great love chapter, he says this about love. He said, it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. And then in the end of the verse, it says, thinketh no evil. That phrase, thinketh no evil, means that love does not keep a record of wrongs. If we are right with Christ, and we are forgiving as we are supposed to forgive, then our forgiveness cannot have limits. We cannot keep a record of those that have harmed us. How many of you all have ever thought or heard someone say, I'll forgive, but I will not forget? Oh, what about this? Hurt me once and shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me, right? Instead, our attitude must be that I will forgive over and over and over again. I will not keep a ledger. I will not keep a record book of that person that has harmed me. There are people that are still struggling with things tonight that happened to them many years ago. You know why? Because it's not wrote down on a piece of paper and a pencil, but in their mind and in their heart, they are keeping a ledger of everyone that's ever wronged them. I cannot keep a record of wrongs. Write this down. Forgiveness must become a habit. Forgiveness must become a habit. There's a principle that, if I understand correctly, behavioral therapists teach it, is called the 21-day principle. The 21-day principle says that in order for something to become a habit, you have to do it consistently for 21 days in a row. Jesus says in our text, how often should I forgive? Peter asked. He said, do it 490 times. If it takes 21 days to make something a habit, after you forgive someone for 490 times, you know what happens in your life? It just becomes a habit to forgive someone. You know what I'm afraid our habit is now? I'm afraid our habit is to be on the lookout for the next person that's going to do us wrong. Oh, but I knew it. I knew they was going to do that. And we're on the lookout for the next person that's going to hurt us. And Jesus said, what you need to do is you need to get in the habit of forgiving people. It shouldn't be something that we struggle with and work at. It should just, we do it so often that it's just habit. When someone says, I've done you wrong, I need forgiveness. Okay. It may be that they don't even ask you to forgive them, but you're in such the habit of forgiving people that you go ahead and forgive them anyways. Now, here's something that I struggle with. I'm gonna read this out of my notes, and I'm not perfect in this, but I'm going to read it because it's here and I've got to say it. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does your spouse know that if you needed forgiveness, or if they needed forgiveness, I should say, does your spouse know that if they needed forgiveness for something, you would forgive them for it? Before they ever ask you, before they ever come to you, before they ever say, hey, there's something we need to talk about, does your spouse know that if they needed forgiveness, that you would forgive them? How about this? Do your children know that if they come to you and they needed forgiveness for something, do they know you would forgive them? Or in their mind, do they struggle with whether to tell you or not? Because they know if they tell you, you'll hold it over them the rest of their lives. God help us all tonight. Does your family know that if they need forgiveness, that you'll forgive them? Does your brother and your sister in Christ know that if they need you to forgive them for something, that you would forgive them? You see, the only way that that individual can know before they ever come to us, that they can come to us and they can find forgiveness, is if we live our lives with the habit of forgiving people. That is very, very easy to preach and very hard to live. Do you live in a habit of forgiveness? I'll say this. I believe that being able to forgive, being able to let go, that is good for you spiritually. It is good for you physically. It is good for you emotionally. It is good for you mentally. Imagine tonight the weight that could be lifted off of you if you just chose to forgive someone. You wouldn't have to struggle with that anymore. You wouldn't have to worry over that, think about that, and that gnaw at the pit of your stomach ever again. If you chose tonight to just say, you know what? I forgive them. Okay. Number one, forgiveness can be learned. Number two, forgiveness has no limits. It must become a habit. Number three, forgiveness is a lesson. Forgiveness is a lesson. Verse 23 says, therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And of course, we read the parable to you tonight. In our parable, the servant is audited. He is found to owe his master many, many talents. 10,000 talents, I believe the scripture says. And he begs the master for forgiveness. The king, as it said, he begs the king for forgiveness. And the king forgives him all of his debt. Then having been forgiven, he goes out, finds someone that has wronged him. And when that person asks for forgiveness, the man who had just been forgiven is unforgiving in his heart and does not forgive his brother, even though he was just forgiven himself. Oh, there's a lesson in that. I think that it's worth pointing out that this parable is not a parable of salvation. Salvation is offered to us wholly by grace. Salvation is unconditional. It is not based on something we do or something we do not do. Salvation is based on what Christ did. Amen. The theme of this parable is not the theme of salvation. It is the theme of brother forgiving brother. Sister forgiving sister. The lesson is this. If Jesus forgave us, and He did, then we must be willing to forgive others. In fact, here's the real lesson. We must be willing to forgive others the way that Christ forgave us. Notice a few things from our text. Maybe you'll want to write these down too. Jesus forgave, even though He was wounded deeply. Jesus forgave even though He was wounded deeply. Verse number 24 says, and when He had begun to reckon, one was brought unto Him which owed Him 10,000 talents. For a man to owe 10,000 talents was an enormous amount of money. From what I understand, Dad, the total taxes for the entire land of Palestine, a whole year's worth of taxes in this day, was 800 talents. It would take a man 20 years worth of work to earn one talent. And this man owes 10,000 talents. It is estimated that in today's money, he would owe somewhere north of $10 million to his master. This is not a small debt that we are talking about in our text. He did something big. He wounded his master deeply. And yet, owing that great sum of money, the master chose to forgive. The thing that you are seemingly unable to let go of tonight, it may have hurt you more than words could ever explain. You are wounded deeply. Maybe you will be wounded deeply. You have been wounded deeply by what has been done against you and done to you. But please remember this. Please remember that what we did to Christ was more hurtful than words to express. Jesus dreaded Calvary so much that three times in the garden He said, if it's possible, oh, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He struggled so much in the garden the night before crucifixion that the angels had to come and minister to Him just to get Him to the cross. Yet, He chose to forgive us, even though we wounded Him very deeply. The wound in His side, the wound in the crown, and the wounds in his hand and feet were nothing like the wounds of our sins. And yet the wounded one chose to forgive you and me. And if the one that was wounded deeply could offer forgiveness, then you and I, who have wounded him, can forgive those that have wounded us. Jesus forgave when he was wounded deeply. Let it be, Jesus forgave although we could not make the wrong right. Jesus forgave although we could not make the wrong right. Verse 26, the servant fell down and worshipped and saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. In verse 26, the man says, just give me time and I'll make it right. There's no way he could make it right. He could not work enough years to pay this debt off. That was a foolish thing for him to even say. But according to verse number 27, when the master hears it, when the king hears it, he offers forgiveness and he removes the debt. You know, I think a lot of times when we get to the place that we want to forgive someone, we want to forgive them if they can make it somehow. And the reality is that when someone hurts us, there's really no way that they can make it right. When we do something wrong and we ask for forgiveness for it, we can't go back and undo the wrong. You don't have a time machine where you can go back in time and undo what you did. You're no more spiritual than me. You've all said things before that hurt someone else. You maybe even knew it was going to hurt them when you said it. But you said it. And then later you ask for forgiveness because you are really sorry for what you said. But you can't take the words back, can you? If this man paying back the 10,000 talents was an unrealistic expectation, you and me repaying the debt of our sin is a very unrealistic expectation. God saved me at the age of 14. I was fairly young when God saved me, 14. I am 41 now. If God lets me live to be 114, in those 100 years, Brother Lee, I cannot do enough to repay Him for the forgiveness that He gave me that day, for the wrongs that I had done. I cannot live enough years and do enough good to ever repay God for the forgiveness that He gave me. But you know what He chose to do? He looked at me in my miserable condition and He said, there's no way that guy could ever repay me. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to ask Him to repay me. I'm just going to take the debt away. Amen. And if the lesson is we forgive like Christ forgave, then the lesson looks something like this. We forgive the person even though the person cannot make right what they did. They can't go back. They can't undo the thing. But if God has forgiven us, then we must in turn be willing to forgive that person. In fact, this is something that I struggle with right here. In our text, Eli, tell me if I'm wrong, but the man doesn't even ask for forgiveness. He never says one time, forgive me the debt. You know what he says? I'll repay the debt. No, he can't. He knew it. The king knew it. Everybody listening to him knew it. No, he couldn't. He never even says, I'm sorry. And yet, you know what the king does? The king says, I'll forgive you all your debt. One of the most liberating things we could ever learn to do is forgive that person that hasn't asked for forgiveness yet. Okay, letter C. Jesus forgave us even though we waited to the very last moment to ask for forgiveness. Even though we waited to the last moment. Verse 25 says, "For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, his children, all that he had." I read the wrong verse there, but that's okay. We're back in 27, "And the Lord moved with compassion and loosed him, forgave his debt." It's believed that this servant to the king was actually manipulating the books of the king and skimming money from him, from the kingdom. Oh, it's a terrible crime. Skimming money out of the kingdom. No doubt he had done it for years. Skimming money, taking money. And do you know what this man did? He just kept extorting money until the day that he was caught. And on the day he's caught, all of a sudden now he falls at the king's feet. And all, he's going to make it right. You know something I struggle with? Maybe you don't struggle with this as much as I do, but you know something I struggle with? I struggle with the person that's really sorry for the thing they did after they get caught for doing the thing. They weren't sorry for it while they were doing it or before they got caught. But when they get caught, you know, "I'm so sorry." Why weren't you sorry? You know. And I struggle with that. But in our text, the king forgives the man, even though it comes down to the very end before he asks to make things right. Maybe I could say it this way, because Jesus is our lesson in this text and our sins. You weren't very remorseful for your sins, and I wasn't very remorseful for my sins until the day God confronted us with them and convicted us over them. You were just perfectly happy living the lifestyle that you were living, doing the things you were doing. You were okay with it. You were okay with it until the day you were confronted with it. And on the day God confronted you with it, you realized you're wrong. You asked for forgiveness. And God forgave you. Should we not then be willing to forgive someone that doesn't even admit that they're wrong until they're confronted with the fact that they're wrong? This man in our text is miraculously forgiven. Yet he does not display forgiveness to those that he comes in contact with. If you tonight are an unforgiving Christian, you are the man in the text. You are the woman in the text. You have been miraculously forgiven, and yet you are choosing not to forgive someone else. We have freely been forgiven, therefore we must freely forgive others. You say, "Well, I've got every right to be angry with them." And you may have every legal right to be angry with them, but you do not have a moral right to be angry. Because God forgave you. And if you've been forgiven, you must forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. Let me give you a few principles to finish with, and I'm done. Let me give you this. Unforgiveness. Number one, unforgiveness will imprison you. Verse number 34, the man is unwilling to forgive his fellow servant. And because he is unwilling to forgive his fellow servant, the man that had been freed is now imprisoned. He is not in prison for his debt. His debt has been forgiven. He is in prison for his inability to forgive. One writer said the world's worst prison is the prison of unforgiveness. There are people that are imprisoned tonight because they are unwilling to forgive someone. Number two, unforgiveness will torment you. Again, it's in verse number 34. He said, deliver him unto the tormentors. Unforgiveness. Let me let you in on a secret right here. Your unforgiveness is not hurting the one that you are angry at. The only person that's being hurt by your inability to forgive is you. They're living their life. They're doing their thing. They're not giving you a second thought. But you are tormented day and night because you are unwilling to forgive. Number three, unforgiveness will harm your family. Verse number 25, the man's whole family is going to be sold into prison. But after his debt is forgiven, they're released. But can you imagine the pain that this family suffered? At the end, we're not told that the family's actually imprisoned and tormented at the end, but the man is. But can you imagine the pain that his family suffered when he was imprisoned and taken away? In fact, I guess I could go ahead and say it this way. Your unforgiveness is robbing your family from you, the real you. There are some people that they've not been their real self in a bunch of years. And they're robbing their family of that person because of unforgiveness. Number four, unforgiveness will hurt your relationship with the king. Verse number 34. Unforgiveness will hurt your relationship with the king. It was the king that when he heard word that his forgiven servant was unwilling to forgive another servant, that he called him back into him and he was angry with him. Being unwilling to forgive will hurt your walk with Jesus Christ. Amen. I've had you write down a lot tonight. I really have. But can you write down two more things for me? And I'll leave you alone. I'll go to the house. Would you write this down for me? Would you write down the reason I am unwilling to forgive others? The reason I'm unwilling to forgive others is because I am unwilling to see myself for who I really am. The reason I'm unwilling to forgive others is because I am unwilling to see myself for who I really am. You know, the problem is that you don't think what you did in sin and Christ forgiving you from your sins is as big of a deal as the thing that has been done to you. If you saw yourself for who you really were in the eyes of God when He chose to forgive you, you would be more than willing to forgive others that hurt you because you have been forgiven. And then write this down, second of all. I will struggle to find forgiveness when I struggle to offer forgiveness. I will struggle to find forgiveness when I struggle to offer forgiveness. Jesus, did He not often teach, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? And when we are unwilling to forgive others, oftentimes we struggle to find forgiveness inside of ourselves. Here's the interesting thing about a lesson tonight, like this one. I don't have to tell you who it is that you maybe have something against, have an ought against, have unforgiveness in your heart toward. I don't have to tell you who that person is. We don't have to have a list of people who it culprits, who it could be. Because here's the reality. The very moment I started talking to you about unforgiveness, if there's someone you're unwilling to forgive, the very moment I started giving this sermon, that person's face popped in your mind. That thing come to your mind. You know why that come to your mind, why it's there? Because you've not still forgiven them and moved on from it. So let me ask you tonight, no music, no song, no nothing, just invitation. Is there someone that you need to forgive? They may not even be here for you to talk to them and work it out. But in your heart tonight, you just want to let it go. Forgiveness can be found in Jesus Christ. You say, oh, preacher, I don't know if I can. You probably can't, but He can. And if you cast it on Him, He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Anybody that needs to come, now's your chance. We'll give a quick invitation. Does anybody need to come pray? Tonight can be the night that you